Paul Suhr joins us once again. And, Paul, it's interesting. I was looking at the numbers of Durant in the two games when Kyrie and Harden didn't play. He only went off for 73 points in those two games. And now this is a series for sure. The Nets are banged up, but they still have, I think, the best player in the game in Kevin Durant. What do you make of the matchup tonight without his two running mates?
Without the two running mates, it's going to be tough, even though he is the best player in the playoffs, without question, Jason. It's just, I think he can't carry that team, particularly with Milwaukee's emphasis on defense and really doing a good job on everybody else but Durant. And so I think without one or the other being healthy, it's going to be really tough for Brooklyn to beat this Milwaukee team right now. They can't stop Giannis. The only person, I would say this, here's my asterisk. I agree with you that Durant's the best player. Giannis has put up some impressive numbers, but I think the only guy who can beat Giannis is Giannis right now, with his still thinking he can shoot three. That could be their only downfall that I can see right now.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It is interesting that, like, the Nets looked in complete control for two games, and, you know, then it kind of changed. And obviously the injury to Kyrie is a big one, no question about it. You know, because the thing about the Bucks is, like, they've got Giannis, and I'm not sure, like, Middleton's not as good straight up as Kyrie.
No.
So what did Milwaukee do in game 3 and 4 that they weren't doing in games 1 and 2 in your eyes?
I think it was just they made their mind up that they were going to slow the game down a bit and they were going to defend more purposefully. And I really think they took the attitude, Jason, that they knew Durant was going to go off. They can't stop Kevin Durant without doing extraordinary things, which means that will leave other players open. And there would be the situation where other players who aren't that good could have bigger games for Brooklyn and allow them to still win. So I think what they did is they decided to defend Durant straight up, help a little bit, but make sure the other guys aren't getting big numbers. And that's what seems to have worked for them so far. Without Kyrie in there being as explosive a scorer as he is, certainly without Harden. I mean, right now, I think everybody would agree, if they had Harden and Kyrie, the series is done already. But they don't, and the reality is now they've got to beat the Milwaukee Bucks with one superstar, not their three.
Yeah, and that's true. Looking at the Suns, they just dismantled
yeah.
The Joker and that team. You know, like, Chris Paul's played great in this series, no question. As a distributor, I still, like, I look at the NBA and I like Paul, but what is it about this Phoenix Suns team? Like, I thought they would win that series because I felt like, you know, the Murray injury was eventually going to catch up with Denver, but, like, it wasn't really close, Paul.
No, it wasn't. I mean, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, all have played extremely well. They've had great efforts and very, very productive efforts from their supporting cast. So they've got the blend. They've got two superstars, a real good post in Ayton, and then a solid supporting cast who can defend and can do all of the little things that prop the team up. They're playing real well right now. Yeah, as you said, it was a bit surprising to have them sweep Denver, but it looked, to me, Jason, it just looked like Denver ran out of gas. Like, since Jamal Murray's injury, it's like they were playing above where we all thought they should be playing, and it seemed to catch up to them. But that is not to discount Phoenix at all. They're playing great basketball. Chris Paul is the leader. Everybody knows he has been. That's why he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So whoever the Suns face, they'll be a tough out for either the Clippers or the Jazz. And right now it looks like with the injuries that the Jazz have, that things are starting to tilt the way of the Clippers again.
Yeah, no, that's well the injuries though, right? You got two
exactly.
Major, the potential injuries, but I look at the Clippers and I just, they to me, they're a better team, I think, than Utah when they play. But the Clippers could be very Jekyll and Hyde still. Even and you wouldn't think that would happen with Kawhi Leonard as their leader. Like, he's kind of the epitome of consistency in a lot of his career, but that hasn't happened in L.A. Why is that? Or what do you see that's lacking?
I'm not sure, but it's like Kawhi wakes up and all of a sudden he's Kawhi again, but he goes dormant for inexplicable reasons. I really don't know, but this last game, the numbers were what you would expect from Kawhi and Paul George. They both had 31 points. They both defended well. So they look like what everybody expected the Clippers to look like when they assembled this team. But you make a great point. What is it about this team that makes it difficult night after night to have a strong effort? That's what bugs me the most about the Clippers, Jason, is night after night, you don't know if you're going to get a consistent effort from them. But when Kawhi wakes up, as he has now in this series, as he did in the last series against Dallas, if he's hitting on all cylinders, he then maybe becomes the second or third best player in the playoffs. So it will be interesting to see what happens going forward. But if the Jazz injuries are as we think they might be, the Jazz are I would say, pretty much done. They just aren't. When you go beyond Mitchell and without Conley, you just don't have what you need to beat a team with the kind of talent the Clippers have.
Well, Paul, it's going to be an interesting final few games here between those two series specifically to see who moves on. Always
for
great
sure.
Stuff, Paul. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds great, Jason. Thank you.